Hi, you're listening to the Hope Church Sermon Podcast. At Hope, our mission is to help people know God, find freedom, discover their purpose, and make a difference. Now, join us as we listen in on a sermon from last Sunday. It is our hope that you feel God's love stronger today than ever before.
Love you guys so much. To the new moms in the room, maybe this is your first time being a mom this Mother's Day, and we see you. Maybe you're still in the honeymoon phase where you think this is just glorious and wonderful all the time. You just keep on believing that, okay? I see some of you moms in the room, you've got dark bags under your eyes because you haven't slept in weeks. Hey, happy Mother's Day to you. But I know for some of us in the room, today is mixed with lots of emotions. Maybe you've lost a mom. Maybe you've lost a child. I know there's women in our church in this room even now who you want to be a mom so bad, and for some reason God hasn't allowed that to happen yet. Maybe you were adopted in this room, and so the emotions of motherhood, while you may have an incredible earthly adopted mother, you have some emotions with that. Maybe you've never had kids, and so Mother's Day is like weird for you. But hey, I just want you to know this morning that I see you. And while I don't maybe know everything you're going through, I know you, I see you, and I love you. But way greater than that, God sees you, and He knows you, every single part of you, and He loves you more than you could ever, ever imagine. And so I just want to take a minute and pray over all the women in the room today. If you want to stand, why don't we just have all our women stand this morning? Come on, all our women in the house, let's stand this morning. If you are a son or a daughter, or you know someone around you, just reach your hand out. And you don't know, man, the stories that are represented from the women standing in this room today are so powerful. So I just want to pray over you this morning. God, I pray this morning for every lady in this room. God, I pray for the moms in this room who are still momming as hard as they can, God. Would you give them the strength and patience and wisdom? God, I pray for those in this room today who Mother's Day is a hard day for them, for whatever the reason may be, God. God, would you comfort them this morning? Would they know that you see them, that you know every piece of them, and that you love them, and that you have a plan for them today, God? God, we thank you for who you are, that we get to be called daughters of the King, that all of us get to be children of the King today. And so we honor you today. God, would you speak through me today? In Jesus' name, amen. One more time, give it up for all the ladies in the house. Well, man, we are in week 6 of the Beatitudes, week 6 of our Beatitudes Blessed series. Now, I don't know, if you're from the South, you might say blessed series, right? How many of you blessed? How many? Let's do a blessed versus blessed, okay? How many of you are you blessed? One syllable. Where are all my blessed people at? Come on. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are those who mourn. Come on. We're gonna say blessed this morning, because if you know it or not, I was born in Georgia, so I got deep South roots inside of me, okay? So we are blessed. Blessed this morning, it means great happiness or abundant delight. Come on. Who doesn't want to be happy and have abundant delight? Come on. At this church, we believe in a God of abundance, and He wants us to have abundant delight. So we're going to read over those Beatitudes, and I like what Pastor Joey did a couple weeks ago. I'm not going to make you stand for every single verse I read today, but let's stand as we read the Beatitudes. I know a lot of up and down this morning. You'll thank me later, okay? Come on. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, it says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons and daughters of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." You may be seated. Come on. The Bible says, blessed are you if you do this. The kingdom of heaven is yours. We get these kingdom these kingdom rewards. So today we're looking at verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And I mean, whose heart is more pure than a mother's? Come on, right? I just thought God just made it fall on Mother's Day. But blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now, if you're a literalist in this room, that doesn't mean we're going to see him with our eyes. Come on, as a kid, I thought, man, if Jesus could just step in my room right now. Have you guys seen those pictures on social media lately that if you squint your eyes, you see Jesus? Anybody seen those? It's like two girls standing in a market, but if you squint your eyes, you see Jesus through it. Come on. Maybe that's what it, maybe that's our, maybe we're pure. If you can't see him, maybe you need to check your heart, okay? Come on. This does not mean we're literally going to see Jesus standing in front of us. How many of you got the eclipse glasses and you watched the eclipse a few weeks ago? Anybody? Anybody see the eclipse? Okay. Did anyone see the aurora borealis? Was that not in Florida? Did you guys see that on in Georgia? They saw it. But okay, so let me put these on. So you put these on, I'm looking straight into these lights, which I could not do if these were off, and all I see is little dots. But wouldn't it be great if we could just put these on and everything would black out and we could just see Jesus? Wouldn't that be great? Someone should invent those, right? But come on, this is not what this means. We're not literally going to see Jesus, but it would be great if we did. But it says that is what a pure heart does, is it allows you to see God. A pure heart will allow you not to see literal him standing in front of you, but it will allow you to see his intentions, his desires, and love for this world. Come on, we want to see that. When you have a pure heart, you can see what God wants you to see. Man, God places so much value and concern on what is going on in our hearts. Just a few verses, but in 1 Samuel 16:7, Samuel's looking for the next king. And this is what the Lord tells him. He says, but the Lord said to Samuel, don't judge by his appearance or height, for I have rejected him. The Lord doesn't see the way things you see them. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart, right? He's looking for this king. He says, don't go looking for the biggest, baddest, good-looking dude. Go find him out in a field tending sheep. He has a good heart. David was a man after God's own heart. Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart above all else. It determines the course of your life. It determines the course of your life. Like, that is a lot of emphasis on the heart. So today is not about behavior modification, but about a heart transformation. We're not trying to just change something real quick today. We want to be transformed from the inside out. Religion will give you behavior modification. But a relationship with Jesus will bring true heart transformation. Can I say that again? Religion will bring you behavior modification. Do this, check the boxes, dot the I's, cross the T's. But a relationship, man, that's when transformation can happen. Our heart is not just our emotions. It's where we keep things. It's where we think. The heart is the core of who we are. Luke 6:45 says, what you say flows from the heart. Out of the mouth, the heart speaks. So can I ask you a question this morning? What comes out of your mouth? What came out of your mouth this week? Good words? Bad words? Dirty words? What came out of your mouth? Because the Bible tells us what comes out of it. That's what's in your heart. That's a good indication of maybe your heart health. The only way to experience true and lasting change is through the heart. When our thinking, when our heart is right, our actions will follow. And this reminds me of, like, when we're talking about physical, how many, I'm not going to ask you because I can't raise my hand. You're supposed to go get a physical every year, okay? If you don't know that, you're supposed to go get a physical every year. They do blood work. They do all the things. They check how your heart health is. And physically, what we put into our body affects our heart health, right? Whatever we put in through our mouth, if it's fatty, they tell us no fatty food, no smoking, no alcohol. All these things, they affect our heart. But it's the same with spiritual health, what we're putting in, not just through our mouth. I don't think what we put in through our mouth really, well, I shouldn't say that. It does affect your spiritual health. But what you put in through your eyes, what you put in through your ears, what you put in through your mind, what are you watching? What consumes your mind? What are you listening to? What you put in affects your spiritual heart just like the food we put in affects our physical heart. What we consume affects our heart. Psalm 139, 23 and 24 says, "Search me, O God, and know," excuse me, "and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life." So each of these Beatitudes, I love Pastor Chris week one, he gave us the world's version of the Beatitudes. But each of these Beatitudes is almost a direct contradiction of today's culture. And it is just as applicable to us today, to those who gathered on that mountain. Where my Chosen series, who watches The Chosen? Did you guys see this episode? They're all in the mountain. They don't have speakers. They don't have a good sound system. So Jesus is at the front. He's got the disciples spread out like every 20 feet. And basically they're saying what Jesus says. And then the next guy says, it's like they're playing telephone across the whole mountain, right? Man, can you imagine how cool it would have been to sit on the mountain that day and hear this sermon? So incredible. But basically this is like a culture verse kingdom message. And so as it pertains to this verse, the message version of Matthew 5:8 says, "You're blessed when you get your inside world, your mind and your heart put right. Then you can see God in the outside world." And so culture versus kingdom is this. Culture mindset is deceiving. Kingdom mindset is honest. Culture mindset is fake. Kingdom mindset is authentic. Culture mindset is dirty. Kingdom mindset, it says, is pure and clean. Come on, culture versus kingdom. That's what this whole verse is basically saying. Everything you know, you got to flip it upside down. Being transparent, being authentic, being these things, they allow God to see through us. Now, here's the deal. God can already see all of you, right? Did you know that? If you didn't know that, you learned something new today. God can already see. He knows how many hairs are on your head. He knows what thought you're having right in this minute. He knows what's going to happen next when you walk out. He already sees you. So why is it that when maybe our heart is not as pure, we try to run away and hide? My first thought was Adam and Eve. When I was a little kid, we had flannel graph. We had these story cards and Bible. And I just remember them hiding behind this bush. And Jesus is like shining down over there in the corner of the picture, but they're behind the bush. And I'm thinking, even as like a five-year-old, I'm like, come on, guys, he sees you. Have you ever played hide and seek with your toddler? You're like, all right, go hide. They're standing right next to you. Come find me. Or they're laying right on the floor. You know, they're hiding right behind this pole that covers their arm. And they're like, they're never going to find me. That's what it's like when you're trying to hide from God. You are being like a toddler playing hide and seek. He can already see you. Come on, Google says the definition of pure is this: not mixed or adulterated with any other substance or material, without any extraneous and unnecessary elements, free of any contamination. The purification process, guys, it can be painful, but it's necessary to get clean. If you want to get clean, this guy at my church, he said, if you play in the dirt, you're going to get dirty. You know, like, if you want to get clean, go take a shower, right? If you want to get pure, if you want to see God, you got to get pure. But it doesn't mean it's going to be easy. The purification process is hard. How many of you get to wear some nice 24-karat gold? If you're wearing 24-karat gold, that gold has been through a process to become 24 carats. I ain't going to lie. This is not 24 carats. Every once in a while, I get a little green line on my neck. You know what I'm saying? 24-karat gold, though, all the impurities are out. You ain't getting no green lines on your neck, on your ears, nothing. It is pure gold because it's been through the fire, and all the impurities rose up to the top, and they scraped it off, and then they let the gold become pure. My daughter this year, she took ceramics. I'm just going to show off all of her beautiful pieces. Shout out to Miss Weiss, who was her ceramics teacher. She made this cute disco ball, this cute little pin holder, and then she made this cute little jewelry holder, and she loved ceramics this year. But here's what happens with ceramics. Ceramics, they have to go through, it's called bisque firing, and it's heated up to 1,000 degrees Celsius, which is 8 1,840 degrees Fahrenheit. You guys thought Florida was hot. This kiln is really hot. And the reason this has to go through is because before she made this, this was just like soft, kind of like Play-Doh. And you could, it could break, you could bend it, and you could make it to whatever you wanted it to be. But then when it became what it's supposed to be, it goes through there. And the bisquing a pot burns away all the organic matter or the impurities, and it strengthens it so that, like, I can't remold this, I can't reshape this anymore. She did a great job. Hope, if you're in here, incredible job on your pottery today. But to be pure in heart, we may need to go through the fire, just like gold, just like this pottery. We may need to go through the fire. Everyone's like, all right, I'm out. Listen, it's going to be okay. But if you want to be pure in heart, you may need to go through the fire. But just like this clay has gone through the fire, you will come out stronger when you walk out of the fire. Come on, you will come out stronger when you walk through the fire. The presence of pain does not mean the absence of God in your life. The presence of pain doesn't mean, oh, God's out. Listen, we all know pain. I've had two friends this week who've had miscarriages. One who's already lost another child when their child was 8 months old. Pain, I'm not minimizing pain. We all go through the pain, but God says we will come out stronger. Pain is real, but God is with us. The process of being made pure is a call to intimacy and dependency on our Heavenly Father. And for some of us control freaks, that's hard. You're like, nope, I got this. I already know what's supposed to happen. But man, maybe he's calling you. Maybe he's calling you to a deep place of intimacy with him. Satan's desire is to drive us away from God during the fire. Sorry, guys, I'm new at using an iPad for my message. So let me just get back to my spot. Satan's desire is to drive us away from God during our adversity, but God's heart is to draw us unto him when life heats up. The refining fires of heaven, they burn away pride, they replace it with humility. Fear evaporates and it's overcome by trust. God removes anxiety and replaces it with his peace. Refining fire is hot, but you are not alone. Presence of pain does not mean the absence of God. James 1, 2 and 3 says, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity to gripe and complain. Nope. He said, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, when you go through the fire, when we put you in the kiln, your endurance has a chance to grow. John 16:33, here on this earth, you will have trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. You are a son or a daughter of the King, of the creator of the universe who overcame the world. He says, so take heart. So the question is, do you want to see God? Do you want to be able to hear and discern things that are from God? If so, Matthew 5:8 says that you need a pure heart. So I'm going to give you four ways that you can check your heart, that you can have a pure heart. And if you don't know this, my background in college, elementary education, I'm a teacher at CORE. So I've got an acrostic for you this morning, okay? P-U-R-E. You guys ready? Here we go. Number one is to pursue holiness. To pursue holiness, if you want to have a pure heart, you need to pursue holiness. Hebrews 12:14 says, work at living in peace with everyone. That is that hard for anybody? Work at living in peace with everyone, not just the easy to get along with people. One person taught me one time, maybe, I hope none of you guys are this, but maybe you're EGR. Extra grace required, okay? Even with the EGRs, it says work at living at peace with everyone and work at living a holy life. For those, this ties in with Matthew 5:8, for those who are not holy will not see the Lord. Come on, we got to decide every morning we wake up to live holy. My husband, one time, we've worked on communication over our almost 20 years of marriage. We've worked on communication, but there was a season where he had to put a reminder in his phone a couple times a day that said, tell Diana what I did today. Because this would be our norm. Hey, did Wes tell you we're going to? And I'd be like, no, he sure didn't. And I would be like, babe, that embarrasses me so bad. You got to tell me what's going on. So maybe some of us need to put reminders in our phone that just say, live holy. Pursue holiness. You need a live holy reminder in your phone. Every day you have to decide it. In order to pursue holiness, you're going to have to invite accountability from others. You cannot do it on your own. I don't care how many filters and all the things. If you don't have anybody asking you, hey, how are you doing in this area? Hey, I know you were struggling. Hey, I saw you post this. Hey, you were cussing a lot last night. Hey, we got to invite accountability if we want to pursue holiness. Ecclesiastes 4:12 says, a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer, and three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. Come on, at this church, we believe in community. Come on, you find freedom in community. Community is accountability. So if you want to pursue holiness, you need to decide every day to live holy. You need to invite accountability. Number two, the U is unselfish motives. Wesley told you guys a couple weeks ago, I think every problem, the root of it is selfishness. If you go back, you thought you deserved something, somebody did something, I wanted this. The root is selfishness. Galatians 5:17 and then 19 through 21 says, the sinful, selfish nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful, selfish nature desires. Verse 19, when you follow the desires of your sinful, selfish nature, the results are very clear. List all these different sins that might come up when we're pursuing our flesh. But then it says, let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's what we're talking about in Matthew 5 is the kingdom. And this verse tells us we don't get the kingdom of God if we have all these things in our life. Philippians 2:3-4 says, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble. Thinking of others is better than yourselves. For some of you, that's like, what? Do you want me to do what? Verse 4, don't look out only for your own interests, but take interest in others too. Hey, being a mom taught you got to take interest in other people, right? Come on, mamas in this house. I was standing with some of the ladies, and they're like, what are you doing for Mother's Day? What are we doing? We're like, I don't know. We're probably going to cook dinner tonight. Like, it's just another day, right? When your moms are some of the most unselfish people that I know, but unselfish motives. Come on, here's what I saw this quote. Selfishness is the greatest curse of the human race. Selfishness is the greatest curse of the human race. I love you guys, and Jesus loves you, but some of you, I just need to tell you this morning, everything is not about you. Everything is not about you. Way less is about you than some of you actually think. This whole I deserve mentality. I deserve this. I deserve that. I did a Bible study one time, and the author of the Bible study said, you know what we actually all deserve? We all deserve hell, right? So anything that's not hell, we should be okay with, right? We actually all deserve hell. So I'm just thankful that he made a way for me to escape hell. So here's, selfishness is the greatest curse of the human race, and I believe that generosity is the antidote to selfishness. Generosity. So if you struggle with unselfish motives, maybe you need to start doing something for someone else. Have you ever bought a meal for someone? Have you ever paid for the person in front of you at whatever your choice, Chick-fil-A might be? Buy someone a meal. It's not about what you can get. It's about what you can give. And so you need to pursue holiness. You need to have unselfish motives. Letter R is you need a repentant spirit. It doesn't just say repent, a repentant spirit. When you have a spirit of something in you, it stays there and it lingers and it doesn't go away, right? I believe if we're going to be pure in heart, we have to have this spirit of repentance because, hey, we mess up every day, every hour, some of us more. And we're going to keep messing up until we get to heaven. Thank God he saved us from it. And the more you pursue holiness, hopefully the mess ups become a little less, but you're never going to be perfect until you're with your Creator in heaven. And so you need a repentant spirit. 1 John 1, 9 and 10 says, but if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. If we claim we have not sinned, we are calling God a liar and showing that his word has no place in our hearts. Repentance is not just with God. We have to also be repentant with others. We have to be repentant with others. And I know that's hard. That can be hard. And it's not just a, I'm sorry. I never did this to my kids, but I saw it on Pinterest. It was a big, like, extra large t-shirt. And whenever they were fighting, you would put them both in the t-shirt together until they could, like, really be sorry. You know what I'm saying? Maybe we need to put a couple of you in this room. We need to stick you in an extra. Maybe we need a 3X. Maybe we need 3X to cover some of you guys. But we need to put. I know there's been times in my life where my repentant spirit, God pushes me on this one. It's not with my husband, guys, okay? Quit thinking that. I'm just kidding. Sometimes it is. Sometimes I do. We do have to be repentant, be forgiving. Let me not get to my next point. True repentance. I know this is a lot of notes, guys. I'm sorry. I'm going to give you 5 R's for true repentance, okay? The first one is recognition of sin. If you're going to truly repent, you have to actually, it's like, what's the saying? If you want to deal with the problem, you have to admit you have the problem, right? So we got to recognize, we actually have to recognize and admit what that sin is. Don't beat around the bush, name it. Even if it's really bad, remember you can't hide from God. Just name whatever it is. Hey, man, I struggle with this. As much as you don't want to say it, dude, if it's happened 10, 20 times, that's a struggle for you. It doesn't make any of us better than you, but name whatever your struggle is. Recognize the sin. The next one is remorse for sin. Actually feel sorry for what you did. If you don't have any remorse for sin, I would just wonder, how could you not have remorse for sin if the Holy Spirit lives inside of you? We should feel, it says we grieve the Holy Spirit. It makes God sad when we're doing this stuff. Man, we should feel sorry for what we did. And we shouldn't feel sorry only when we get caught. We should feel sorry, like, in the midst of doing it. If the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, it's like that check. Now, I know sometimes we fight against it, but man, we should be remorseful for sin. The next one is resolve over sin. Some of us, you may recognize and you're like, yeah, I feel sorry. But if you don't get through all of these, it's just going to keep coming back and coming back. Resolve over sin, determination to change your mind about sin. And then the next one is reformation over sin. Reformation means you actually have to change whatever that lifestyle is, a reformation of actions and behavior. And then lastly is restitution for sin, doing whatever is needed and whatever is possible to make right what's been wrong. That's hard. I know that God does not label our sins like, oh, this is a 1, that's a 10. Ooh, that one's a 11.3. You know, like, but as humans, it's going to hurt me way worse if Wesley says really mean words to me. It's going to hurt me less if he doesn't do the dishes. But if he just tells me how horrible I am, it's going to, you know what I'm saying? So sometimes restitution for sin is as easy as, hey, I'm so sorry that I broke your pencil. Here, tomorrow I'm going to bring you a new one, and I'm really sorry, I shouldn't have done that. Sometimes it's an accident, but you still have to make right accidents. You still can apologize and be repentant for accidents, guys. But restitution, sometimes the only thing you can do is just ask God for forgiveness, a heartfelt apology. Sometimes there's nothing you can't. I'm a fixer. Anybody in the room fixers today? I'm like, oh, let me just fix that right up. I'll talk to her and I'll talk to him and we'll just make this all be so great. And we'll all go to dinner tomorrow night. It doesn't always happen like that. Sometimes all you can do is a heartfelt apology, pray, keep praying over it. That might be all the restitution is possible, but it is your job to try to have restitution for that true repentance. Okay, last one. You almost made it to the end. Letter E is extreme forgiveness. extreme forgiveness. We need to get good at asking for forgiveness, which is the repentant spirit, but we also need to get good at giving forgiveness. Some of us, we ask for forgiveness, but we haven't given it. Matthew 6, 14 and 15 says, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. Some of us today, the wrongs that have happened to you have been horrible. And I'm not in any way minimizing. Just forgive them. Come on, I know it was. No, I'm not saying it wasn't that big of a deal. But I promise you that when you forgive them, that's when your healing can begin. We heard this quote in our freedom class. Unforgiveness is like drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die. Unforgiveness is like me drinking poison and hoping they die. Some of you, you have poison inside of you because you have so much unforgiveness. And how could you see God? How could you see God? Because your heart cannot be pure if you have all this unforgiveness inside of you. Man, if you've never done our freedom class, you need to do the freedom class. Best class, yep. You need to do freedom. It happens in the fall. But man, aren't you glad God forgave all your sin? Aren't you glad he forgave all your future sin? And he didn't say, well, let me wait and see. Let me see if they really mean it. Let me see if they're going to do it in. Because, I mean, I can only forgive, what does the Bible say? 70 times 7. And then even more and more and more. If you want to be forgiven, you need to forgive. So we need to pursue holiness. We need to have unselfish motives. We need to have a repentant spirit and extreme forgiveness. What in your life today do you need to work on to be able to see God? Do you want to see God? Do you have a desire to see God? What needs in your life, what needs to go through the fire so that whatever it is can rise up to the top, we can take it off so that you can come out stronger? Come on, we all need to be purified. What do you need to truly repent of today? Like the whole process of repentance, not just, well, that's what I did. What you need to walk through the whole process of repentance, and you don't have to walk through it alone. That is one of the beauties of this house. We don't want you to walk through anything alone. Listen, you're not better than me, and I'm not better than you because I didn't do the sin you did, and you didn't do the sin I did. We are all sinners in need of a Savior. We are all sinners. And until you actually admit that you need the Savior, there's no way that you could be pure in heart because he's the one who purifies our heart. Do you want to see God? I think that to see God, to have a pure heart, we have to surrender. I don't know what it is you have to surrender. Maybe it's a physical thing. Maybe it is a thought in your head. Maybe it's a hurt that's been done to you. You just need, some of you, the person that you need to forgive, they're not even alive anymore for you to forgive them. You can just forgive them and give it at the feet of Jesus. Man, I promise you that you can begin healing. But it's like you have this big gaping wound and you're not putting any Neosporin or anything on it. It just stays open because you're not putting anything on it to help it heal. Come on, if we want to have a pure heart, we have to do these things. What do you need to pursue? Some of you have been pursuing things that are so far from God. You need to turn around. And the good news is it's not too late. Man, so many people think it's too late. I've gone too far. I promise you, the minute you turn around, Jesus will be the first one standing there. You thought he was far away. You thought that the presence of, whatever my line was. Hold on, let me get it. It was a good one. The presence of pain, you thought was the absence of peace, the absence of Jesus. But it's because he never moved. You're the one who moved. But I promise you, the second you turn around, he is waiting for you. And he's not waiting for you with a list, okay, go do this, go do that. That's religion. He's waiting for that relationship because he loves you so much. And so if you want to have a pure heart in here today, I want to challenge you to not just change your behavior, but transform your heart. Some of you in here today, you've never been introduced to Jesus. You've been introduced to things of Jesus. You've gone to church. Maybe you went to a Christian school, but you watched everybody else's faith. Maybe you watched your parents' faith, but you never owned it for yourself and said, that's my Father. That's my Heavenly Father. That's my Savior. Some of you, you need to begin that relationship today because then, man, the purification can start to happen. It starts by acknowledging your need for him. And so the Bible says in Romans 3:23, it says, for all have sinned. Every single one of us in this room have sinned. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin, penalty for sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. John 3:16 says, God loved the world so much. And when he says the world, put your name in there. God loved Diana so much. God loved Nancy so much. God loved Pastor Chris so much. God loved Yaya so much that he gave his one and only son for Nancy, for Diana. Come on, put your name in there. He gave his son for you so that you will not perish or die, but that you will have eternal life. When I grew up, Baptist grandpas who were preachers, uncles, everybody, and my grandpa, my mom's dad, he was known as just a soul winner everywhere he went. If he did a lot of conferences, and I remember being on elevators with him. If you walked in the elevator, he said, hey there, my name's Curtis Hudson. If you died today, do you know where you would go? I mean, that's an awkward conversation starter. But he knew that that person's soul was more important than what they had for dinner. Man, when you know, when you have eternal life, you can know today that when you die, to be absent with the body is present with the Lord. Come on, somebody. Come on. If you want to begin that relationship today, I want to give you an opportunity to do that. Would you guys stand with me for just a moment? I don't know what it is that you might need to work on the purification process this morning, but I do believe that we all have something that we need to pursue more. Man, we could all pursue Jesus more. I don't know who you need to forgive this morning. I don't know what you need to repent of. What have you been selfish about today? Knowledge plus application equals transformation. Don't just be hearers today, be doers. Be transformed. The Bible says by the renewing of your mind. Come on, bow your heads for just a moment with me. I just walked you through a bunch of verses on how much Jesus loves you, on what he did for you so that you can have a relationship with him. And if you have never had a moment where you have confessed with your mouth and believed in your heart and committed your life to Jesus, you've never had that one-on-one moment with Jesus, I want today to be your day. And so I'm going to pray this prayer. And you can repeat it after me. And it's not magic words of my prayer. This is what is in your heart to Jesus. But today can be the day of your salvation. So if you want to start a relationship with Jesus today, would you just say this to him? Dear Jesus, I know that I have sinned. I know that I cannot get to heaven on my own. And today, I place all my faith in you, Jesus. I believe that you sent your son, that you died on the cross for my sins. I believe that you rose 3 days later. And that you are preparing a place for me. And today, God, I want to begin a relationship with you. I give you my life, Jesus. In Jesus' name. Amen. Keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed for just a moment. But if today was the first time you've ever prayed that prayer today, would you just do me a favor and just lift your hand up real quick. Anybody in the room, today was the first day that you began that? Praise God. Praise God. Anybody else in the room today? You began a relationship with Jesus. Man, it says that the angels are celebrating. Jesus is having a party right now because he heard your prayer. He sees you. He knows you. And today is just the beginning of a relationship. But when you begin a relationship, you got to keep talking. You got to keep getting to know each other. And so today, we want to help you walk through what your next steps are. If you prayed that prayer, we'd love for you to come up here. If you're on our prayer team today, if you could come up to the front. We have a prayer team up here. Maybe today, sometimes repentance starts with just telling someone, hey, I got to work on this. But if you prayed that prayer today, you would be so bold to come up here and tell one of our prayer team, I prayed that prayer and I want to know what's next for me. They would love to help you with that. I'd love to meet you after the service. If you want to pray with somebody today, come forward. Man, let's be transformed today. We're going to sing this song that we've never done before, but this song says that I want to be tried by fire. Can you say that this morning? I want to be tried by fire. I want to be purified. Take whatever you desire, Lord. Come on, let him refine you in this moment.
Thank you so much for joining us. If you'd like to know more about Hope Church, please feel free to visit us at hopewintergarden.com or connect with us on Facebook and Instagram at Hope Winter Garden. We hope you have a blessed day.